Well, you know, last week I preached about 1 Peter 4:10 and just how God has truly given each of us a gift, a grace, and that we don't need to get bent out of shape if we don't have that gift and grace for things. I mean, you notice I'm not up there playing an instrument or anything. You would not want that because I'm telling you, it would be pretty ugly. And that's the reason God had put us all together, because we need one another to bring the fullness of Christ out. I mean, I talked to Ann this past week, and I know that Rebecca Page is going to make an announcement next week about the women's prayer meeting that started this past Thursday, and it was just off the charts good. She's got a gift and grace to see mothers and women in the Lord walk in their destiny and everything. So it's not this Thursday, it's a week from this Thursday, right? And so, ladies, I invite you that if you're off or if you don't work, we're going to be providing childcare from 10 until the Lord lets you go home, to come and be part of that. She has a gift and grace for it. When I watch Gwen or Nancy or others preach and teach, basically teach, but Gwen's got some preach on her too. I'm sure Nancy does too, but, you know, there's a gift and grace that comes out in that. And when there's a gift and a grace that a person has in their life, you can get in that stream that is the river of God, that spiritual stream, that's an invisible stream. So many times the enemy tries to get us to go, my gosh, why is he getting to preach, or why is she getting to do this and all that? That's the enemy that tries to get us to eat of the tree of good and evil so that we start judging. Man, why? And we start judging. And we miss the river of God, just like you hear the river running through the pipe. We miss that river of life. And we have to learn to eat of the tree of life every day and to choose life in every situation and circumstance. Amen? And so last week, we talked about the classes we're getting ready to start. And can't find my notes here on that part. But we have sign-up sheets over here. Financial peace, marriage classes, school of the prophetic, parenting, that is going to be an excellent, excellent class. And I invite you, if you didn't sign up last week, I invite you to come and sign up and get in one of those classes. I'm telling you, we all need to learn, just as Rhett said, and I shared last week, but most of all, God said in His Word, Ephesians 4, we do what we do on Sunday to equip all of us, because when I'm not speaking and somebody else is, it's to equip me to be about Daddy's work out there 24/7. And so I invite you to come and be part of that class. I know it may be a sacrifice sometimes at 7 o'clock at night to come out, especially as we get ready to start our solemn assembly. It's going to be cold tomorrow night, but that's a good thing. And I invite you to come for that also. But I encourage you to sign up for one of these classes and to get equipped. You know, the financial deal that's going on right now in America, what if us, and I'm talking about my own life, would have had our finances in such an order that truly God could have transferred the wealth from the unrighteous to us. But you see, we had so much of the culture of the earth on us, we were, so much of the Church of America is in debt, and God couldn't transfer it over to us. See, we got this American mindset in money that, okay, God, even though I haven't been a good steward, I haven't been faithful in these things, Lord, I know Your Word says You're going to take from the unrighteous and give to us. Lord, I'm one of Your righteous. God's a God of stewardship, and unless we're willing to grow in stewarding what He gives us, those resources, He's never going to give you more. The more we grow in understanding stewardship of our time, our finances, working with excellence and all those things, He can give you more. Amen? Does that make sense? Also over there is our pledge card. We are wanting to continue to support Emmanuel Ministries in Juarez, Mexico, as well as Deborah and Sopal Ung in Cambodia. There's these over there if you didn't get last week. Pray about it. Please turn it in sometime this month of January, the beginning of February, so that we can continue our monthly support to them. Amen? All right, stay with me. I promise you I'll go fast over these next 3 hours, okay? Go fast. Come on with it. I was going to, you know, last week I shared of how I felt like the Lord said to speak out of Matthew 16, 13 through 20 for the first 90 days, our Sundays together and stuff, and the people that I'm lining up to speak on those Sundays, to speak along those lines. There's so much in that of how it talks about region being land, and we all have spiritual land. It's about, who do you really know who Jesus is? See, if you only know him as a teacher and you're trained to think educationally, you'll only know him as a teacher. But Peter said something when Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Son of the living God. We all have to grow in the revelation of our identity in him and us. Again, I preached a message about 4 years ago or so at Sojourn Church, where this church was birthed out of. And it was about identity theft. What you see in the natural and the spiritual, what you see in the natural so many times is what's going on in the spiritual. Identity theft is one of the major things going on in this nation. Can I tell you, you and I have been having our identity stolen constantly as men and women of God, as sons and daughters of the King. And we just sit there and passively take it instead of rising up and saying, no, that's not who I am. I'm not a person of shame, but I'm a person who's loved with such a passion and extravagance of my Abba Daddy. Amen. We have to start rising up. We sing songs. We speak to the mountain. But then on Monday, you're letting that mountain speak to you that you're still full of shame and fear. It can't be just about this hour and a half service. That song that we sing, I love that, but you have to start speaking to your mountain. If you have fear, that mountain that's before you is fear, you need to start growing in the revelation of the love of the Father and being able to look at that mountain and go, no, I am not consumed with fear, but I'm consumed with an extravagant love of my Daddy in heaven. So this would be one of the first things that you need to really ask the Lord. What is the mountain that you deal with that affects you spiritually? Because if it's affecting you, whether it be shame, rejection, or fear, I'm telling you, it's affecting every area of your life. A lot of people go out and buy a car when they can't even afford it, but they do it because they feel that that mountain of rejection just lies to them constantly. So they go out and buy something that's going to make them feel good to the flesh for about 2 days. On the third day, you wake up and go, oh my gosh, how am I going to afford that $475 car payment? We have to start separating because we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. We have to start realizing that we need to have the Holy Spirit breathing fully into our spirit so that our spirit man is ruling over our soul and our flesh. Amen? Come on, that's good. That's worth a lot just for you to come for this morning and get out. Because I really believe so many of us are led by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. And we really got, it's time to grow up, church, for each and every one of us. So in all that, I won't go into Matthew 16, had a great message, because there's like probably 7-8 powerful truths in that. We have to come to a place of prayer to legislate, because it talks about what we permit on earth, permitted in heaven. There really is a transferring of heaven and earth for those that will grow in legislative prayer. We have got to get a revelation that we're royalty, and that what we pray on earth, we've heard from Daddy in heaven, and it's going to happen on earth. So in all that, had a great message out of that. And this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, as I was up here praying, really excited about that message, I wasn't feeling, the way God wires me when I'm going to preach, I can feel the breath of God on me. And as you learn, as some of you will get to preach and teach, you can feel that breath of God, and you can feel the sails really expanding out, man, and you're ready to go for it, right? For those that have taught in these kind of settings. Well, this morning, yesterday, man, I could feel it. This morning, it's like, God, where are you? It's like, my goodness, Lord, are you in Amarillo, Hereford, Texas area? Are you here? And, you know, and it was because God was wanting to get my attention because he wanted to change what I was going to speak on. And so as I started meditating and asking him what he wanted me to speak on, I felt the breath of God. We have to learn to start discerning the times of what the Spirit of God is saying. Again, Matthew 16, it'll tell you that very thing in Matthew 16, 1. He says, yeah, you can tell about the skies and the natural, but you don't have a clue what's going on in the spirit. We have got to start learning what God and the Spirit of God is doing in the things of the Spirit. Amen? So in that, the Lord started, and really started happening yesterday, but it just dawned on me this morning at 6, so it was wanting to change. When I was driving from 183 and I wanted to take a shortcut, I had to run some errands yesterday, and I'm driving from 183, I decide I'll take a shortcut through the airport. And as I was coming through the airport, spirit of intercession fell upon me, and I started praying for every plane that's coming and going out of this metroplex. I started praying for safety, started praying for people that were in all of those terminals. And it reminded me years ago of how we used to pray. Cindy Jacobs back in the 80s said, man, you've got to start praying over your terminal of the airport and everything. And I felt the freshness of God in a new place of intercession. And I really believe that God wants to blow upon us in a place of intercession, a place of prayer. Can I paint a picture to you of what John encountered, the Son of God, in Revelations? It was on that Sabbath day, if you will, and he was in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, he gets pulled up into a realm that I haven't been. But can I tell you, John is no different than you and I. We can experience third heaven experiences if we'll learn to slow down. And now let's back up of where John learned to put his head upon the very breast of Jesus when Jesus was in fleshly form. I mean, how would you like to know that your resume is the one who would rest his head upon the breast of Jesus Christ? That was John's resume in the book of John. God, again, in Malachi, says he's writing a book of remembrance about every one of us. Chris, Ann, wouldn't you love to know that God's resume about you is that you've learned to slow down and put your ear upon his breast? Dan, Jess, every one of us. And just like Paul, I mean, John had that invitation. You and I have that invitation every day. I want you to go with me a little bit as John is encountering this resurrected king. He's not the one that even walks into Matthew 16. The scripture says that he has hair like wool that represents the holiness, that song we were singing, holy, holy, holy. That prophetic type and symbol of that white hair is wisdom and holiness. You see, church, if I could be so bold, we've got to get a lot of filth out of our own heart. And I'm talking about not only me, us, I'm talking about the American church. The reason we have so limited power, I believe, and I love the miracles that we do get to see, but how many more are out there for us, but we're not willing to give away and push away from the table of the world. And so we lack power because we don't have fruit of intimacy. I can't remember exactly how she said it. Somebody help me. Heidi Baker talked about that the fruitfulness of God, it really comes from a place of intimacy. And I believe I'm going to listen to a lady who's raised over 300 people from the dead. You know, and this lady is far busier than you and I are. We don't value prayer. We don't value, and if I could be so bold, I want to use this term. We don't value prayer because we don't see the fruit of it the way we think we should instantly, or we trust in our own strength. And number two is the number one thing. We, including myself, we live a life that we don't need God, but about just like our giving, we only need you 10% of the time because I'm smart enough, I'm strategic enough that I can do 90% of it myself. Come on, don't shout me down. But again, let's go to John. It's a Sabbath day just like you and I are in. It's an invitation to come up into these doors of intimacy with him. He sees this one that's got this hair and this wisdom and holiness where he falls to the ground. He looks up and he sees this one whose eyes are like fire. I really believe that is the prophetic that the Lord wants to burn in us, and eyes can only burn. Again, what does it say in the Gospels? That eyes represent the windows of your soul. Jesus Christ is looking at this apostle, his son, John, from a place of a resurrected King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's burning with a holy fire, and it's for a guy like John to come and be part of that. I don't know about you. I want my eyes to burn with fire because my heart is on fire for him. I want to say it again. Our eyes can burn with a holiness and a fire. Our eyes are a string to how our heart is doing. If our eyes, and I'll put it like this, of what it says when Jesus was talking about the eyes are a window of our soul. If our eye isn't healthy, can I tell you that we're probably dealing with some things in the world we need to push away from the table. So John is being undone by what's unfolding 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelations. Then he hears a sound of many waters that represents the authority that Christ has. where it causes John to fall flat on his face, as Scripture says, as if he was dead. I know this sounds crazy. I want to have some prayer meetings like that. I really do. I want to be a part of an individual prayer time with the Lord like that. And I want Hope Fellowship of North Texas. I even pray that the solemn assembly that we start tomorrow night, that we have a prayer time like that, where we're afraid to even breathe because the presence of God is so strong in this place. What would even happen if we all of a sudden got it changed up to where we trust in God 90% of the time? Remember a while ago I said 10, 9. I want to go for 100, but I'd settle for even go up to about 90. You know what I'm saying? Can I tell you this, just this small group of people in this room, that if they would go after God and trust the Lord like that, of his dependency, just 90%, we would see the world turned upside down. It's only 120 people in the upper room. Just 120 people. God does not need 4 million or anything like that. He really just needs, John was just one, and he said yes to him. And God started unfolding everything that would be taking place as we are seeing it unfold. So in that, that's the intro, and I promise you I'll go quickly. As I was meditating on this morning, I just felt like the Lord started speaking to me. He says, are we going to make prayer and fasting a lifestyle? I'm not talking about this solemn assembly. I'm talking about a lifestyle of intimacy with Him. I'm talking about a lifestyle of fasting. Again, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you pray, when you fast. I won't embarrass all of us, including myself, but the limited fasting that's going on in the American church, and I'm just not talking about food, I'm going to get to all of that, is one of the reasons I believe that we have limited power. I'm going to unload some scriptures here in a minute that let you see how much heaven and earth does shift in a moment's time of heaven encountering earth as we pray and fast. And again, it has nothing to do about food. I love what Bill Johnson said one time many years ago. He says, we do 40-day fast that just talks about our negative thoughts, where we learn to cast down our negative thoughts. Can I tell you the next 3 days, even starting today, starting right now, you might start a fast that would become a lifestyle, that you wouldn't have thoughts that are not of God. Rhett talked about that. Can I tell you, I think it's possible because Scripture says that we have the mind of Christ. We're just not willing to crucify our flesh is the reason we have so many thoughts that are so contradicting to the Word of God. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Remember, we're going to try to be a church that's just going to go after God, right? And we want to be part of churches that are going to go after God and to see the kingdom of God come forth. Because as I was focusing on prayer and fasting, when you read what it says in Scripture, what goes on in our cities is up to you and I. And a lot of things is the way I read it. Yesterday in Tucson, Arizona, my heart was broken to see that at a town hall meeting, for those who didn't see the news, a guy walks up, shoots a congressman in the head, kills a federal judge. 19 people are killed. 19 people are shot, 6 die. Roxanne Bushocker just texted me a while ago. She said, can you believe the 9-year-old girl that was killed in that accident was born on 9/11/2001? And which, 9/11 and all of that. So Rox is already digging into that, all that different stuff of yesterday. But we let a lot of things, as I preached on gates a few weeks ago, those gates are the portals that we have got to, because that's what the Scripture says, that the gates of hell will not prevail, again, out of Matthew 16. We go through life letting hell be released into our families and cities and rarely go after God to shut those gates. Jesus even promised in Matthew 16 that what you bind and loose, I will do it on earth. Rhett said something so good in pre-service prayer. He talked about how persistence, many of us are about as persistent in prayer, we might have an endurance of 2 days. God wants to build that endurance. And He wants us to go for Him because He really cares about our cities. Amen? Come on, this ain't a bummer message. This is a great, challenging message. This is a message that we get to see the atmosphere change over families and the atmosphere change over cities. And it's a great challenge and opportunity that you and I have. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel 9. I'm just going to make a few points in these. I invite you to come on the Solemn Assembly, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 7 to 8:30. We're doing child care. If you can only come on one night, come on one of those nights. Let's press in and ask the Lord to move in our cities. I just want you to see the benefit of prayer and fasting. Here's another thing that I think we're messed up in our thinking of fasting. How many of us, when I talk about fasting, you already, your flesh goes, oh my gosh, what am I going to have to give up? How many of us immediately start thinking that? Come on, let's be honest. How many actually think, man, I got to give up something? The scripture is pretty clear about you do have to give up something. You have to lose your life to gain it. But yet when a pastor talks about fasting, including myself, golly, what am I going to have to give up? I want to change your theology in prayer and fasting. It's not what you get to give up. It's what you get to get. Come on, somebody shout me down. It's not what you have to give up. It's what you get to receive. And it's Him, and it's more of Him. Amen? All right, so I won't read that entire passage, but the very point that I want to do, well, let's go ahead and read some of it. In the first year of Darius, the son of, well, we won't go there, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he's reading the scroll, or somehow he's reading and studying the book of Jeremiah. He doesn't understand all of it, apparently, because verse 3 says this, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." He understood it, and if what he didn't understand, he kicks into prayer and fasting, and what he did, he understood that the time was complete. And he wanted to see God's justice released on earth. So what does he do? He doesn't just go away, oh, that's good, Lord, like many of us do, and start walking his daily routine. He goes to a place of prayer and fasting. I really believe some of us that are sick in this body, I believe if we'll corporately go after some prayer and fasting, we're going to see some miracles, because that's what the Word of God says. But we just kind of get up. If we're not careful, we'll get up from this good service where the worship was good, the ministry was good, the preaching was fabulous. And that's supposed to be some humor. I got a few smiles. It was incredible. And we'll leave unchanged. I believe I have left many Sunday services unchanged because I chose to. One of the requests I had for you, what's the mountain that's affecting your spiritual walk? Are you learning to speak to it? That's a great one to start with there. And you only learn to speak and have authority when you learn to really grow in prayer. So one of the things that happens when you pray and fast, you have an increase of revelation of who the Lord is and His kingdom. Another thing that comes forth in verse 3 is when you choose to fast, you choose humility. The Bible says that really is a key. When you choose to fast, you choose the fruit and character of humility. And the Bible says in James that if you'll walk in humility, you receive the grace. This is literally how it means. You receive the storehouses of heaven on earth. I think that's the reason the enemy has tried to get us to where we don't have a lifestyle. I'm not looking for an event. I'm going to keep using that word, a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Because he knows that when you choose to fast, to give up something, to gain more of him, and I can tell you, I've heard pastors, I've probably even said it, that when you pray and fast, you're not trying to get something from God. Yeah, you are. If you really understand Scripture, yes, you are. You're getting more of Him. So you're doing an act to get more of Him. Even in Nehemiah, he got more favor from the king to even tell him to go to Jerusalem by his praying and fasting. You will get more favor on your life because you're encountering more of Him. Amen? So I want to change some theology that we've all been dealing with incorrectly. Another thing that happens when you fast, increase hunger for Him. Another thing that happens, you honor and release more honor to Him. And then another thing that happens in prayer and fasting, increase zeal and passion for Him. How many of us need more zeal and passion for Him and His purposes? Another thing that happens, verse 20 of that particular passage. Let's just read it real quick. Now, while I was speaking, again, he's in a day of praying and fasting. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people of Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, an angel, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. I believe prayer and fasting opens up the heavens greater and greater. I believe that some of us, if not all of us, will see angelic hosts as we build a lifestyle of prayer. In Daniel 6, it says this about him. As was his custom, he went to prayer three times a day. Gang, that's a lifestyle. That's the reason it's time to change our language. Our solemn assembly is not an event, it's a lifestyle. We started Hope Fellowship of doing Tuesday a day of fasting. We're fasting these 3 days. The following Tuesday, we're going to do those. Can I tell you, we have 51 Tuesdays to have a day set aside for praying and fasting and receiving strategies. We do the solemn assembly. We already have a Tuesday in there. Add to it, that's 53 days. We have another small solemn assembly in August time, July time. That's roughly 55 days, if I've kept my math correctly as I'm talking. That's how you start a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. You start setting a day, even going to work, going to school. You don't have to tell them. See what's cool about New Testament fasting? You don't have to put this sackcloth. Oh my gosh, I'm fasting for the Lord. What does it say in New Testament? Because see, I do that. Man, I'm really fasting hard for Jesus. Of course, I've, just lost my reward and all those other things. But we look gloomy when we fast because our theology's been wrong. We think of what we're giving up and not walking in the revelation of what we're gaining. Jesus says this in New Testament. When you fast, man, don't be like the Pharisees. When you're gloomy and you're fasting, you're like religious folks. I'm just telling you what Jesus said, so don't get mad at me. That's what Jesus said. And so what you do, he says, man, put some oil upon you. Put a smile on your face and bebop down the road and let everybody see my life and light shining through you. Come on. Amen? Now, all I'm quoting to you is Scripture, right? And I'm throwing a little bit of my thoughts and ideas in there too, but a lot of it mostly Scripture. So we need to line up with what the Word of God says. Also, if you will, let's turn the page there in Daniel. Another thing that praying and fasting does, it changes the atmosphere. Is that snow starting to come down a little bit? I think so. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now I got to be quiet, huh? Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for lying. I'll just go quickly. Praying and fasting, it changes the atmosphere of our cities. What this says here, that he started going on a 21-day prayer and fasting. Again, your fasting doesn't have to be food, but what he says here, I'm just going to eat nothing that really makes my flesh come alive, is what he's saying. Because, we love to eat, put salt and seasoning and all those other things on it. And he says, I'm not going to eat anything that's good to my taste buds. I'm just going to eat vegetables, fruit or whatever. But what happens on the 21st day of his fast, an angel shows up again. Again, praying and fasting opens up the heavens over us. I want you to get that. It's not what you're giving up. It's what you're getting. Heaven will open up. So in this, an angel comes bebopping into the place. Daniel, again, is just moved with the fear. And the angel says this, Daniel, you need to know that on the very first day when you prayed, your prayer was heard in heaven. Some of us, going back to Rhett's word in pre-service prayer, we lose our persistence on the fifth day. Can I tell you, your prayer's probably already been heard in heaven 5 days earlier. And Daniel here, 21 days. I think it was, who had the word on wrestling with God? Nancy did. She started us out in that. Prayer is not letting go of God until you've gotten your answer. But what happens in prayer also, he's changing you into more of his image. The one that wrestled with God was Jacob out of Genesis 35, give or take a chapter or two. It's going to be real close to the address there. He wrestles with God. And remember, God is the one that took dust and made man from it. God could have literally pulverized this dude. God will let you wrestle with him. He won't get angry at you. Even in your days that you go, God, where are you at? God doesn't mind those things. He just wants you to come and get to know him and him revealed to you who he really is. But in this place of wrestling, Jacob's name is changed. Jacob meaning deceiver. Prayer will change your character from being a deceiver, fearful, one that's rejected or whatever, into a prince, royalty. All of a sudden, when Jacob gets up and he's walking away, he's got a limp and he would forever walk with a limp. But God was changing his character in a place of prayer. Again, this is the reason the enemy doesn't want you to be a man or woman of prayer. Because he knows in that exchange, your character is being made more in the image of Jesus Christ himself. Amen? So in those places of prayer, our character and name is changed. And in that, again, back to the angel showing up, he says, your prayer was heard on the first day. Your prayers are heard, but as Gabriel this time, it was Michael and the archangel that showed up in the previous chapter of Daniel. In this place, Gabriel says this, or this angel says this. He says, man, he says, we had a battle with the prince of Persia, a principality that was over that area, is what the actual meaning of it is. Just as it says in Ephesians 6 that there's principalities that try to rule and reign our families and try to keep us from knowing the Lord. It tries to rule and reign cities. He sets up, the enemy has put up a multi-level marketing structure, if you will, of evil rulers and principalities, the big strong ones over area. This one had a strong one to where that particular angel, again, heaven has that same structure of angelic structuring also. This angel didn't have the power, if you will, to break through, where Michael, I think it was, had to come and help him break through. He shows up and starts a discussion with Daniel. So what I'm wanting you to see and what Scripture wants you to see is when you pray and fast, there is warfare that goes on in the spiritual. And when you pray and fast and you persevere, there will be a change in our cities. There will be a change in our nation. We keep looking for Washington, D.C. to pass the next legislation that will help our nation. In a lot of ways, they're helping, but not to the degree that we majorly need a move of God. We need revival in this nation. I'm going to say it again. We are in major need of a revival. I mean, when I read a story in this past week's paper of these men taking and kidnapping this 13-year-old girl to one of the things that this house is praying against and trying to see that thing stop all across the world of sex slave trafficking, it was a hideous story. But we walk through life instead of going, God, I'm going to go after that thing and shut the gate of hell that's allowing precious girls to be abused like that. Church, it really is time that we wake up. And I'm talking about my life too. It's not enough for an hour and a half meeting on Sunday morning. It's about a lifestyle. It's about as was their custom. Time is it? Okay, I'm going to go quick. Nehemiah 1, 3 through 11. Esther 4, 1. Especially 4, 4. Let's turn to Esther real quick. Man, there's so much on prayer and fasting. It is worth for you to do a word study over these next few days and even go, Lord, teach me more about it. This is what happens to us. Mordecai has heard the decree that every Jew is going to be killed. And so he's at the king's gate. He's decreeing, crying. He puts on the sackcloth and ashes. He's making a spectacle of himself. He's trying to wake up the Jewish community to understand that they're going to be killed. My heart, and I know many of you in this room and other ministries, they're trying to make a spectacle. We've got to wake up, church. This is what religion will do, though. That's the reason I believe Esther got credit of having the Bible named after it when it should have been named Mordecai, but we'll talk about that later. Just kidding a little bit. Verse 4, and I know the Holy Spirit named the book. Please don't come and rebuke me after. So, verse 4, so Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen, again, she's in royalty, but now she's in comfort. God put her in her place of her spiritual land. But over the time and season, she's gotten spiritually fat. And she's comfortable, like maybe some of us in this room. And out of comfort, we will throw spiritual water on people that's on fire for God. Now, I want you to hear what I just said. When you meet somebody hungry for God, our response may be, I don't mean really hungry for God, it'll convict us, but so that we don't look like we're convicted because it might expose something in our life, we'll say something religious to throw cold water on that fire that's burning in that person. You follow what I'm saying? Verse 4, you'll see what Esther does. She's distressed. She's deeply concerned. Then she, it says, then she sent garments. Again, he's wearing sackcloth and ashes. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he would not accept it. Religion has been putting a lot of stuff on us to not be sold out for God, wholehearted worshipers. I want to say it again. The world is a garment. Religion is a garment. And all they will do is to make you lukewarm. Praise God for Mordecai that he would not receive it. What garments on you? What garments of the world are on you that's making you passive? What garment of religion is on you that you care so much about what other people think of you instead of being a wholehearted worshiper of him? When I read this several months ago, I underlined it and thought, oh God, forgive us for the garments that we've allowed to be put upon us that's making us lukewarm, making us ineffective to the degree that you want to make us effective. There's more, but I want to stop there. And I hope you go to the Bible and you look that when Jesus is declared the Son of God, he goes on a 40-day prayer and fasting, taking on the devil. Here's another one. Gosh, I wish I could go on. 4:13, Luke 4:13, it says he returns in the power after a 40-day prayer and fasting. You want more power in your life of God? Go wholeheartedly after him. Remove those garments. And sometimes those garments are a TV show that you know that the Holy Spirit convicted you 5 years ago that you didn't need to be watching it. And you watch it, and now you're dull to that conviction. Am I right? Been there, done it, have 7 t-shirts on it. And then we wonder, well, no, man, it's okay for me to watch it. I haven't heard God. Yeah, you haven't heard God tell you to turn the thing off because 7 years ago he told you, and you remember the freshness of that conviction. So you get dull, and 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 then you think that anything of the world is okay to do And it was the conviction 7 years earlier is the reason you've lost that passion for the Lord and the garment that the world has put upon you. And then we wonder how come people in the church are getting divorced as much, sick as much, and everything else as in the world. In the Old Testament, Goshen was protected. When the plagues of Egypt came upon them, read that story. Incredible story. Goshen wants to happen again, but you're going to have, we all are going to have to change the way we are living. Today's a day to get a fresh new start on a great word that we have lost, conviction. Conviction. Where you feel the breath of God say, no, you don't need to do that. You feel the breath of God say, no, that's a garment that the enemy's wanting to put upon you. And just like Mordecai, there's a violence for God and God only that you say, I will not receive that garment. Let's pray. If you know you have some garments on you that you have allowed to be put upon you, and when I shared that thing or about conviction, anything that I shared, I just want to invite you to get in a place where you can just repent to the Lord, whether it's on your knees, at an altar, whatever it may be. You could be sitting there, but you're just saying, God, I want a passion for you once again. Just take a few moments to ask the Lord to forgive you. And then ask Him to put a garment of violence for His kingdom and His name in your heart. I really believe today is the day of Ezekiel 47 to where He's causing dry bones to come together and rattle. I encourage you to read that as we get ready to start our solemn assembly. In verse 11 of 47, it talks about how a great and exceedingly mighty army came forth. The breath of God came mightily upon them. We're a few numbers here, but we're joined to a body of Christ all over this nation and all over this world. If you want to be part of that great, exceedingly mighty army, I want to invite you to stand. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you don't, but if you want to be part of that great, exceedingly mighty army, I want to invite you to stand. I just want to pray a corporate prayer over us. And we are representing the body of Christ across this nation and elsewhere. Because that's what it said came forth. Let's pray. Well, Father, I thank You that You always give us a million, billion chances. Scripture's so full of that. And I thank You, Lord, that You're giving us a chance, Lord, to be part of an exceedingly great, mighty army that comes forth. Oh, I love that scripture in Ezekiel 47 where the bones start coming together. You're having a conversation with your prophet Ezekiel, and I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're having a conversation with each and every one of us today. And when You ask Ezekiel, You said, can these dry bones live? And Lord, we just say thank You, Lord, that our individual and corporate life, Lord, can live. And we just say, Holy Spirit, just like You did then, cause dry bones to come to life. We ask You to bring muscle and skin upon us fresh anew, Lord, those giftings and callings and destinies that all that represent, Lord. God, we ask that you'd join it together, Lord. We thank you for Sojourn Church, for Bent Tree, North Church, Bethel Church, IHOP in Kansas City, Lord, all those churches that we're connected to Emmanuel Ministry in Juarez, to So Paul and Deborah Ung in Cambodia, Lord. We thank you for the body of Christ you've connected us with. And now we say, Holy Spirit, would you blow upon this entire body, Lord. Lord, all that we're connected to, Lord, and would you bring forth an exceedingly great and mighty army that brings glory to your name, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, we say we want the passion for you, wholehearted worshipers for you, of you. And let us burn with fire once again, and let us love that conviction you want to bring upon us when we might try to step out of line just a little bit. Let conviction be a good word once again to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.